Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
You are listening to NPR News, and I'm Angela Davis. So glad to have you join us today. A reminder that it is our fall member drive here at NPR. Make a donation at nprnews.org or by calling us at 800-227-2811. Today, you may have heard we're offering a thank you gift, a feature. Join us as a sustaining member at $12 a month today or more, and you'll receive all three of our NPR-branded face masks. There's one for each service, NPR News, The Current, and your classical NPR. Make that donation by going to nprnews.org or calling us at 800-227-2811. And one more thing for my 9 o'clock hour listeners. We have a goal this hour. We need you to help us raise $8,000 during this 9 o'clock hour. If we do that, that'll keep us on track for our overall fundraising goal, but we can only do it with your help. So between 9 and 10, we're on a roll here, and already we've already had some donations, so we're looking at another $6,400 we're trying to raise during this 9 o'clock hour. I think we can do it. Donate now to support the music and news you love at nprnews.org or call us at 800-227-2811. Well, today I am talking about music with The Current's program director, Jim McGuinn. Good morning, Jim. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Angela. It's great to be here.
Well, Jim, not only do I love listening to music, I love talking about music. Mm-hmm. That's how much of a music fan I am. So
we've taking you to some shows. I know. I've seen you at the Palace Theater. I've seen you out rocking.
I go out once a year. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Let's start with some news, though, about a new partnership involving The Current. I'm very excited about this. The Current was recently awarded a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to partner with KMOJ Radio, which is a community radio station in Minneapolis that plays hip-hop, gospel, and R&B. Tell us more about this partnership and the goal.
Well, you know, for the last couple of years, we've had a stream at The Current called Purple Current,
yes.
And this is building on those efforts to grow, it's kind of more outreach into the community and bring in more partners and more voices to the content that we create at NPR, and it's amazing. We've got this support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to really grow that service into the future, and I'm super excited about what we can do.
And the Purple Current, if folks aren't familiar with that, tell us about the type of music you hear there.
Sure. I mean, Purple Current really started, the Current got a lot of attention worldwide when Prince passed, and fans came from all over to listen to The Current. And then some of them stayed and said, I love The Current's mix. And then some said, oh, wait, you're playing this next to something that isn't for me. You know, like Wilco's not for me, but I love Prince. And so we sort of built Purple Current as an outlet with this idea of what if you created a kind of a radio service and put Prince in the center of the universe. And you look back at his influences. So we played a lot of R&B and soul music from the 60s and 70s and funk, and then his peers, and then also the proteges of Prince, the artists that kind of, you know, reflect his impact today. And it's been great. We've got fans all over the world that tune into Purple Current, but we think we can do more. And having this grant is going to enable us to grow that service further.
So when I think of the Purple Current, I mean, the music, it's funk and soul, R&B, hip hop, celebrating the Minneapolis sound. So what we're talking about now with this partnership with KMOJ, it's a streaming service, right?
A streaming service. And then also we hope to have maybe some specialty shows that'll show up on The Current's airwaves. You know, like we have The Message, which is our hip hop and R&B show. We have, you know, shows devoted to Americana music or to, you know, classic alternative music. So I think that there's also going to be some opportunities on The Current to expand that music a little bit wider as well.
All right. Well, we have some examples of songs from The Purple Current because we want to play some music as we talk about music. The first one is from Prince himself. And Jim, what makes the song we're about to play really emblematic of the Minneapolis sound?
Oh, well, you know, it's got that great little funk guitar riff. And in its core, it's a blues song, but it's updated for the dance floor in the mid-1980s. And it's just one of Prince's greatest hits. And everybody loves this song. So how can you not?
All right, let's play it. Right, that's Kiss from Prince. And it's like your body just automatically starts bouncing to that, right? Doesn't matter how you build, how old
totally.
You are. It just, that is really part of that Minneapolis sound,
and
right?
And it's the epitome of Prince because you've mm-hmm. got the sort of modern, the drums are produced in a really modern for 1985 way. There's like a reverse snare drum in there and all this like kind of fancy
mm-hmm.
touches, right? But then mm-hmm. at its core, it is like a blues song with a little funk guitar riff, and it's got those great lyrics. And yeah, it's a universal song. And, you know, if you don't like that song, yeah, Purple Current's probably not for you. But who doesn't like that song?
Right, right.
That song's amazing.
More. Okay.
Yeah.
The Current is known for really uplifting, highlighting local music, new local music. Let's talk about some of the music we're hearing on The Purple Current. I know you want to talk about a group. Is it Paviel?
Paviel, yeah. Paviel's she's a vocalist who's been in our scene now for a decade or so. She is an activist. She's very involved in the community. And, you know, she's had a steady band that kind of, you know, almost like a Prince thing where it's a big group that brings the funk and the soul music. And this is a really powerful song that she has written in the past year post George Floyd. And her new record is terrific. And this is just a great, great song from her.
What is it called again?
It's called Rights.
Ain't a damn thing changed. Same bag at the grocery. And I ain't whipped because you're not talking about taking down these draconian policies. Yeah. Listen to the words I say. You have no ownership of me. You cannot give me my rights. No. Yeah. Listen to the words I say. You have no ownership of me. You cannot give me my rights. No, no. Cause I'll take them.
Something very current. A lot of us talking about thinking about fighting for rights. That's Paviel, some new local music spinning on The Current. What more can you add to what that song sounds like in those lyrics, Jim?
I think, you know, she's someone who's been a part of our community and on the streets during this past year, really engaged. And it's awesome when an artist can take that real world experience and then come up with almost an anthem, a really powerful song. So it's great to see the local music scene and the that sort of, you know, a version of that Minneapolis sound reborn in a successive generation like it has with this new music from Paviel that's just come out. Now, she's played, you know, we play her on The Current. She's played The Current's birthday party at First Ave in previous mm-hmm. years. But she's also the kind of artist that I think we see on Purple Current. And as we move into this collaboration with KMOJ and with the CPB grant, we just want to get more involved and have, you know, more of an opportunity to share more voices in the community.
I love a collaboration. I just need to say that. So just hearing about KMOJ, The Current, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting all coming together. And they've done this in other cities, I know, and had some, you know, a lot of success, too, like bringing together these partnerships.
Yeah, the partnerships and also the idea of what is being kind of labeled in the industry as a urban adult alternative format. And
I think I'm an urban adult alternative. I like that.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you look at the history of radio stations that are targeted towards African American populations, there's in many markets there might be one or two, and there's not enough of a diversity of that service within one or two stations. So it's adding another outlet that might take a different skew towards the music than what you would hear on a more mainstream urban radio stations. So this gives us an opportunity to collaborate. It's also an opportunity for us to increase our staff. We've got an open position right now for a content director.
Right, we're hiring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're hiring. And so, hey, if you know somebody that this is their wheelhouse, we'd love to hear from them and have them apply for this open position we've got for the content director.
And one more question. Where should people go to find out more about this partnership? Where can they learn more if people are like, hey, this is cool. I know there's some stuff on our website.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I
the current website. Go to the current
website, but also go to the Purple Current page. And mm-hmm. then also for the open position, if you go to the NPR.org, you can find it in the jobs section.
So. All right. We're talking about music, listening to some music. I'm talking with my colleague, Jim McGuinn from The Current. He's the program director there. And we want to hear from you, too, as we talk about music. This next part of the conversation, I definitely want to take some phone calls. We're going to talk about something that you all at The Current have been talking about lately. How have opinions about songs changed over time? Now, because I think initially people, you love a song, you hear like, oh, it's new, I don't know, or you instantly love it. But over time, something can happen and you can change how you feel about a song. So what kicked off this conversation about opinions of songs changing over time?
Well, there's a very well-known music blog called Pitchfork. And for many, many years, they've graded songs and albums and they use a 10-point scale. And at times in their early years, they would be sort of snarky and maybe they would, throw a shot at an album and grade it really low. And recently they came out and said, you know what, we had to regrade some of these records because we were wrong. And that's how, critical opinion has changed maybe the meaning of certain records over time. And it's just sort of fostered a conversation, which gets to a wider conversation that's more than just what rock critics and, might say about a record. But as everybody, sometimes you hear a song, the first time you hear it, you love it. The 100th time you hear it, you're like, I can't stand this anymore. And occasionally it's the opposite, where a song grows on you over time. You might not get it the first one or two mm-hmm. or five times, and eventually it becomes one of your favorites.
I've seen this with my teenage kids. When new music come out, I'm like, oh, mom, don't even bother. It's trash. And then a couple of weeks later, like, that's my jam,
right,
mom. That's
right?
my jam.
Yeah,
this is it. Yeah. What is that about? All right. So I talked about our listeners. We are taking your phone calls. We want to know, how have your opinions about music changed over time? And is there a song that you used to dislike, but now you love it? What is that about? Call us at 651-227-6000 this hour as we talk about that. And you can also tweet me at Angela Davis, MPR. So, Jim, one of the we were talking about Pitchfork.
Yeah, Pitchfork. They reevaluated.
A terrible name, by the way.
Well, Pitchfork. I think,
Sounds very judgy.
Well, I mean, they were started as a, a snarky music blog to judge, I think. And so that might be something to do with it.
Yeah. The Pitchfork, they reevaluated one of the albums.
I think it was like 20 albums that they just recently published, like re-reviewed.
Re-reviewed.
And they went back. And, it'd be like if you gave a movie 2 stars and then you realize, oh, it's The Godfather. Maybe that should have gotten more than 2 stars,
So they did this and they looked at Prince's musicology.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when Musicology came out. Tell us about this album by Prince.
Well, this was an album. So, some of these albums that they reevaluated were actual, like, real career peaks that they got wrong, And Musicology was at a time, I'd say it was one of many peaks in Prince's career. Maybe one of the better records of the 21st century in Prince's career. But he'd come off almost a decade of kind of wandering in the woods a little bit. Mm-hmm. He'd gone really deep into his religion with the Jehovah's Witness movement and making albums really focused on that for a few years. He'd gone off on some sort of jazzy explorations, and it'd been a long time since he'd made a really good record. And this one came out, and at that point, he seemed maybe an artist out of time, whereas mm-hmm. he was right aligned with where the world was all through the 1980s, right? And where pop music was. By 2004, I think, is when this was released. Maybe he was a little bit off kilter, but it's a great record. And at the time, they gave it the score of 5.8. And so they rescored it now as a 7.8 and admitted that, this was one of the highlights in his career.
Well, we're going to listen to a little bit from the Musicology album and the title track of the album.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
Great song.
School joint for the true funk soldiers. Musicology. Wait a minute, babe. Wish I had a dollar for every time you say back in the day. Let's groove September. Earth, wind, fire.
That is the title track, Musicology, from Prince. And Jim, I'm very emotional. Just hearing Prince's voice sometimes, it makes me sad. I miss him.
We still miss him. Sometimes I think I have dreams and he's still alive in my dreams. And, you know, it's such a loss still, 5 years mm-hmm. on, for our community and for the world. Just, he brought so much music. I think one of the more interesting things, though, is that since his passing, people that were around him have been able to share more insight into his history and his stories, and you've really grasped the humanity and the playfulness and also the dedication to community that Prince had, that he was a little quiet about in his lifetime.
What about all the stories that came out about philanthropy?
Absolutely.
Like the major donations that he privately gave,
yes,
and actually, you know, told people, do not tell people this came from me.
Can I share something with you?
Please.
You might not know this. Around 2010 or 11, we got a nice donation from his foundation.
We as in the current?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it was totally out of the blue, and it was a total shocker. And it was just, you know, he supported what we do at the current and at Minnesota Public Radio. He was a big believer in public radio.
Lifting up voices and people who have not been heard of before, giving them a chance for more people to see.
And you know, and that's one of many, 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 many outlets that he donated to over his lifetime.
All right. Let's get back to Pitchfork.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I remember when Musicology came out. And I do. I wasn't really feeling it because I'm still, you know, I'm still thinking about Kiss and all these big hits from, you know, the 80s. And
but I
remember that.
I saw that tour and it was amazing. He had a killer band. He had this stage that was a giant X. So there were like four walkways with the stage and the band was running all over the place. I saw it in Philly with Jill Scott opening. It was an incredible one of the best shows I ever saw in my life was Prince around that time.
I saw Prince at the XL Energy Center. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember, I think that was one of the final concerts, tours that he did.
07, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so another album, let me talk about this, Pitchfork. Oh, actually, Jim, let's take some phone calls. We asked the listeners, we said we wanted to hear from you and how your opinions have changed over time over a song. So let's take some phone calls. In Minneapolis, Mark is on the phone. Good morning, Mark.
Hi.
Go ahead. What did you want to share with us?
Let me preface this by saying I'm a 63-year-old white guy that drives his granddaughter to school every day.
Oh, you've got stories.
You can imagine I don't get control of the radio.
Well, that's on you, Mark. But okay, you love her.
And I just want to, you know, say you never know what's going to come out of a singer's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You may think this is ridiculous. This is like Olivia Rodrigo. I'm going to give you an example. You know, you hear Driver's License. It's about a girl stalking a guy. And then you hear Traitor, and it's, you know, they're 17 years old. Give the guy a break. And then all of a sudden I hear Brutal, and that song just resonated. What she says in that song is incredible. So
who's the artist? It's
Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you heard Brutal and those others? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you agree or not, but it really says a lot about how kids feel and how I felt. And I'm, you know, how can I even remember back that far?
Learning from those teenagers. Thank you. That's Mark in Minneapolis. Let's take one more phone call in Minneapolis. Casey is on the phone. Casey, what did you want to tell us about music and how your opinions about songs or type of music have changed over the years?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm an 80-year-old white guy.
All right.
I'm an amateur singer-songwriter,
mm-hmm.
and when rap came out, I hated it. But I want to tell you that I've evolved to where I just recently wrote a rap ditty.
Wow.
Well, okay.
Can you share a couple bars?
To celebrate my dermatologist.
All right.
Well, yeah.
So you have a great dermatologist? You were so moved you wrote a rap song for your dermatologist?
I did.
Now, you know, I got to hear a little bit. What can you share with us, Casey?
Come on. You got a little bit?
Is it all right if I use her name? I mean,
that's fine. Just no bad words. No curse words. Yeah. Go ahead, Casey.
All right. Vicky Van Roy, MD, she's in dermatology.
Hey.
She's the best dermatologist in the Midwest. I can say this to you, because grandfather knows best.
Hey.
It goes on and on.
Go, Casey.
I like it.
So now you have an appreciation for that then rap music now. Initially, you said you didn't like it.
Exactly. Okay. So I wrote this and I performed it for her and she cried.
Well, I'm sure she was moved. Thank you. That's Casey in Minneapolis. Whoa, what do you hear from that? I mean, music does amazing things to people, right?
Absolutely.
It helps us grow and change.
And I love that too. This Olivia Rodrigo is an artist that came out earlier this year. Her first songs kind of appeared, and I want to say she's 17 or 18 years old, and it took off. Like her career kind of exploded, and she's got stuff that's been on the pop charts, but also that song Brutal is something we played on The Current. That's like a awesome kind of angsty rock song that she made, and she's an artist that President Biden invited to the White House to talk about getting younger people to take the vaccine. So she has really made an impact in 2021. And
her name is new to me, so say it again.
Yeah, Olivia Rodrigo. And it's cool that Mark and her granddaughter have found that sort of
music
to agree on, you know?
All right. I want to make sure we play some more music as we talk about Pitchfork. They rescored, reevaluated, re-reviewed.
Yeah.
another album, Born to Die by Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the perception of this album and how it has changed since it came out in 2012? That's not that long ago.
She's had almost a decade now. That was her debut album that kind of brought her on the scene. And as her career has developed, she's in turn become an influence on a whole lot of other artists. So now there's like a whole school of younger artists that you might say, oh yeah, she sounds kind of like Lana Del Rey. Like you go from being the outsider to being the center of the conversation pretty quickly in pop culture. And this takes us back to right when we first met her. And I think when we first met Lana Del Rey, people thought she was evoking a little Nancy Sinatra, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but now it's come to be looked at, and she's got the endorsement of artists like Elton John, who's like a really good friend of hers, and a lot of LA-based songwriters. So,
well, we can hear one of her songs. Yep. It's "Video Games" by Lana Del Rey.
I say you're the bestest, leaning for a big kiss, put his favorite perfume on, go play a video game. It's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you wanna do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better.
Very beautiful, soothing voice. Lana Del Rey, Video Games. What is this song about?
Well, it's about her boyfriend that won't stop playing video games.
This is what I thought, right? Because I have a song called Video Games about just my concerns about my son playing video games so much. The lyrics are a little different, but okay, I just wanted to know.
Can you give us a few bars?
No, like please, please stop. Please talk to your mama.
Take your screens away.
Okay, I often joke I don't go out a lot, but this week I am going to a concert. I know. It's a big deal for me. But yeah, concerts are coming back. Upcoming concerts, new music coming out this fall. The pandemic, we know, it put live music on hiatus for quite a while. But now concerts are back. Lots of items on calendars to prove it. One of the concerts I am really looking forward to is Erykah Badu.
Mm.
If you've not heard this, Erykah Badu is playing at the Armory in downtown Minneapolis tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, I believe. But who knows when she will take the stage? I'll let you know.
Well,
but I will be there.
That's so great.
Are you familiar with Erykah Badu
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. She's great.
Think about some of her hits. Tyrone.
Tyrone's the best. I mean, she's she's one of the kind of now a legend in terms of kind of taking R&B, soul, funk, and hip hop, melding it all together and bringing it forward from the mid-90s onward. Mm-hmm. And always an innovator, always sort of a... one of those artists, very, goes by her own rules, and does her own thing, works with whoever she wants, when she wants to, doesn't really, follow necessarily the advice of this person or that person, just kind of charts her own course.
And
great artist.
I didn't realize this. I she's earned this title of Queen of Neo Soul, which I graduated from college in 1990. So that early 90s music has had a big influence on me. And so, that kind of blend of, let's just play one of her songs in case people are not familiar with Erykah Badu. One of my favorite songs by her, it's called Love of My Life.
Whenever I got lonely, I needed some advice. He gave me his shoulder. His words were very nice. But that is all behind me, 'cause now there is no other. My love is his and his is mine. My friend became the love of my life. You are my friend.
All right, Jim McGuinn, you're watching me do my dance. I usually only do it at home, but this is my jam.
I like it. You got the neo-soul jam going on.
All right. So her voice is very distinctive, yes?
Sure.
Her voice, and then what can you tell me about the music, though? That sound, that kind of melodic kind of, I don't know, it's just very chill. It relaxes me.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of what they called neo-soul in the early 90s was one of the first times that a generation of younger musicians was looking back and kind of taking a stronger look at the influence of the classic period of the late 60s to the mid 70s. You know, a lot of that music came out of Philadelphia. Questlove and the Roots were some of the people that really pushed that sound forward. And, you know, in Philly, if you go back earlier, you've got the Philly soul of the 70s, the Gamble and Huff music from the Me and Mrs. Jones kind of records, you know, using these strings and using all this really interesting instrumentation. And I think that is where that movement got named, is because it was evoking a lot of the classic soul music while still taking the sound forward. And you think of, I don't know, D'Angelo as somebody maybe that
Maxwell.
Would, Maxwell, yes. Totally Maxwell, yeah. You know. But Jill Scott gets in that category
another
as well.
Another one of my favorites.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What other shows that you want people to know about that are coming? Concerts to Minnesota.
You know, there's so many shows just coming in the next couple of weeks. There's a speaking of Philly, there's a great Philly band that's doing a farewell tour with Two Nights at First Avenue called Dr. Dog. That is next week. There's a little band called the Rolling Stones that'll be here on the 24th of October. That's kind of a big gig.
Where are they going to be, the Rolling
they're
Stones?
They're at US Bank Stadium, small, intimate little club down the street. Sylvanessa, one of our favorite bands in the current, is doing two nights at the Palace Theater. Elvis Costello, who is kind of one of my favorite artists of all time, is going to be at Mystic Lake on November 4th. There are a ton of shows coming to town. People are trying to get back on the road because for musicians, you know, the revenue, unless you're at the Drake level, the revenue from recorded music has fallen significantly. So many musicians are dependent on touring. And for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, their tours have been, you know, stopped. And so for these musicians, it's an opportunity to get back out, reconnect with their fans. And for music fans, it's a chance to see some great, great music again. And, you know, a lot of shows, though, are having trouble because somebody in the crew might come up with COVID or something. You know, shows are being canceled or postponed still as
last
we
minute.
Go on.
But let's talk about that. We are still living in a pandemic. Yep. What COVID restrictions should concert goers be aware of? Are venues choosing to limit, you know, the number of people or space people out, or is it just back?
Venues have all of different policies, and you should check, you know, if you're thinking about going to a show, definitely check the with the venue online, because they're pretty forward with the policies. You know, one of the big promoters in town is First Avenue, who works with a multitude of venues around town, like the Palace and the Fine Line and stuff. And they have a pretty, you know, the strict policy of you have to show a vaccine card, or I think it's a 48-hour test, but don't quote me on that. If not, and you know, they're all trying to keep it safe because, you know, if for these artists, if one person gets sick, it could derail the whole tour,
and
be really catastrophic for their careers.
And Jim, I just had a thought. I'm going out twice this year. I went to a concert last month.
Really?
I went to the Dakota there in downtown Minneapolis, Dakota Jazz Club on Nicollet Mall. They required showing my COVID vaccination card.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very much. No, that's almost every venue in town has a rule like that that you have to show your vaccination card to get in the door. That has been many places, but you should check if you're thinking about heading out to a show. You should check with the venue because everyone's a little bit different.
Right, but then when I got in, I could relax more. I'm like, oh, everyone here is vaccinated. There's a little bit of relief.
Well,
or they've had a negative test.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah. You've been sharing a lot, but go ahead.
I went to Lollapalooza this year, which was a show your vaccination card to get in.
Yeah.
And I came back and got breakthrough COVID.
Well, there is that. We
3 days
do
later.
Have a lot of stories of breakthrough cases.
So, you know, it's still a little bit fingers crossed. And for some people, that's not a line worth crossing. And then for other people, it's like, okay, I really want to make this part of my life again. And, you know, during the summer, we had a lot of outdoor events, and that I think mm-hmm. people generally feel a little bit safer, although that's where I was in Chicago, was Lollapalooza, was an outdoor event. But now as things are heading back indoors, it's going to be interesting to see and to monitor. It's thrown the music industry into a tizzy for the last year and a half.
I feel bad for the musicians and you know, how are they even practicing, right? You know, like
sometimes with masks on, sometimes in their own little, you know, bubbles. And I'll tell you, there's no more are there like, oh, come backstage and let's hang out before or after the show. The artists are like separated, you know.
Right.
And the weak link actually is probably the person selling the t-shirts, because they are interacting with the public and then they get back on the tour bus and suddenly it's a petri dish.
Do they have a lot of interaction exchanging payment for the products? All right. We asked this question, Jen. We have another phone call I want to take about how opinions about music have changed over time. And in St. Paul, Joshua has been waiting patiently to join the conversation. And Joshua, we're going to take your call. Good morning to you.
Oh, goody. Thanks for taking my call, Angela. I'm loving the conversation this morning.
It's wonderful. What did you want to tell us?
Well, I've got two things. I just wanted to piggyback off of what you were saying about Erykah Badu. A lot of people probably shy away from her music because as she progressed, it kind of got more electronic and hip-hop. But her album, Mama's Gun, is probably one of the greatest albums ever assembled, along with like D'Angelo's Voodoo. And like you guys were saying, the neo-soul, just the real instrumentation. And if you didn't know better, you'd think you were listening to something from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that my opinion of jazz really changed as I grew older. I thought it was a bunch of square white guys tooting their horns when I was a kid. And then I grew up and I was like, oh, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers.
Yeah.
Oh, John Coltrane. Hey, this is some good stuff. But loving the conversation, you guys, and have a great day. Hey? Yeah.
Thank you.
That's, you know, I think jazz is a perfect example that for a lot of people, maybe when they first encounter it, it might not make sense. And it's a thing that you need to sort of apply yourself to. But once you do, then you can appreciate it. And maybe it has an even deeper connection. And the opposite are the songs that sound so appealing on the first listen, but then you get sick of them. And I call those songs cotton candy, because, you know, cotton candy is really delicious the first bite.
And then not so much.
And then like the 100th bite, not so much.
I think, you know, I lived in Atlanta for a while when I was in my 20s, and that's where I developed an appreciation for jazz. And prior to that, you know, I think I just hadn't been exposed to it, and I hadn't had my heart broken enough times. But so with some music, you need more life experiences so that you can relate to the feeling and the sounds and the lyrics more.
All right, where's the Angela Davis blues record?
Yeah,
is that coming?
It's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, maybe. So thank you for that call. I love that over time. Before we go back to talking more about our fall member drive, anything else you want to say to folks about what's going on at the Current?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we're always, you know, like you here, it's really fun. And then we take it really serious. We try to be both really serious, but also really playful at the same time. So we know it's music and we're just trying to share. And it's an honor and humbling to feel like we're invited to come over to everybody's house and bring a stack of music and share it with you. And so every day that's what we're doing. And we're having a lot of fun upstairs and getting to do that, getting to share that musical experience and getting to engage with folks. And that's why we're here, you know, too, talking about the member drive today. Is just that it's about that thing. And I think about music and how it, you know, it's often... Gosh, this is going to sound weird, but it's often, you know, kind of the last thing to go if somebody is, you know, like an Alzheimer's patient or something like that.
Losing their senses or losing their appreciation for things.
That is the thing that often brings them back. And it strikes a nerve that is so deep inside of us. And to know that we're all together, the audience and the staff and the musicians creating those memories is just... It's sort of a humbling thing that we get to do.
I'm hearing my closing music, Jim McGuinn from The Current. Thank you for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Always enjoy talking with you. Thanks, everyone. Be safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.